Welcome to the Start Well podcast. I'm Dawn Thomas, your host. As a mother, financial advisor, and researcher, I know the importance of empowering young people on their financial journeys. Whether you're a parent, grandparent, or the coolest aunt or uncle, join me in exploring how impactful conversations about money can shape a young person's future. Let's harness their superpower of time and your superpower of influence to ensure they start well and continue to live well into the future. The information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your personal and financial objectives and situation. Before acting on any information discussed here, you should consider its appropriateness, having regard to your objectives, needs, and financial position. Welcome to the Start Well podcast. Today we have the amazing Michelle Flanagan on our episode, and Michelle is our resident book reviewer. Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks for having me.
So, listeners, sometimes we want to discuss books and authors are not able to come on. And Michelle has so kindly stepped in saying that she's actually going to read these books. She's going to give us her thoughts. She's also going to let us know, you know, how this can actually help young people as well. So you don't have to do the hard work of trying to sift through those things. You can listen to this episode and find out whether this is a book that's worth you picking up, and also how to use it with the young people in your life. So Michelle, thank you for taking on that service. It means a lot to us.
That's okay. It's good to be of service.
So Michelle is a principal advisor at The Wealth Designers. And Michelle, you would have read a few finance books in your time. Any ones that stand out to you as being memorable, as maybe one of your first, or those key money lessons?
You'd be probably surprised I haven't read that many, because I've probably done more study and everything, whereas I feel I read a lot of them. I actually really enjoyed the one we're going to review today. The other one I like is one we're coming up is My Philosophy, the Money Philosophy book. And the other one is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So, yeah, some good messages. Barefoot Investor's not bad, you know, for people starting. If Glenn James is listening, I'm yet to read his book, so perhaps I should also add that to my book reviewing, even though we won't talk about it because you'll get him on, or you've had him on. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, I must say that doing this podcast and being reading the finance books that come about that are out there, I'm just really encouraged that there are so many finance books that are in the Australian market, and a lot of them written by women as well, or even they say like it's the Australian New Zealand market. I think they kind of look at it as one. So for me, definitely as someone who is in financial advice, being able to see these kind of books catering to different demographics is a fantastic thing to have. Now you said you've enjoyed this book, Michelle. Go ahead.
No, I have. I've got to share it with some people in my life. So yes, I have enjoyed it.
Yeah. So you've got young people in your life. And I think first up, before we delve into the book itself, would you say that you would recommend this book or not recommend this book?
I'd recommend it to young adults or teenagers who are really keen. It's going to be interesting. I have a stepdaughter in my life and she's 17, and I'll be interested to see how much she really enjoys it. But I think it's more she doesn't think about money in that way. But I've also two nieces who I think they're at that right point in time where they need to start thinking about some of their own money. And I think the book puts it into a really good context for them at their age group and talks in their language.
So, yeah. You know, we're talking with your language, and I think I've got the book here as well. And definitely Simran Kaur, the author, has a way of making it quite relatable to probably as well younger women as well, right? I mean, because her podcast is so popular, and then there's the book, and it's a, like I said, millions of people have been impacted or influenced by this book. What about the language or the way that the book communicates to the reader would make it actually sit quite well with young readers?
Well, it references things like TikTok, which I probably don't reference in my language. What is that again? Yeah. And I just think it talks about things that are very concepts that are relatable to them, and how they then might break it down into terms of traveling, holiday, you know, traveling clothes, things like that, that are relevant to them. versus someone like myself who's saying focus on retirement, get the mortgage repaid, things like that. So it's relatable because of the size it talks about as well in investing. So you can start, and you can start with any amount. And I think that is really important. And I'm like, oh, every time I was reading it and picking it up, I'm like, where was this book when I was young? That was the thing. I was like, this book should have existed when we were young.
Oh, that's a really good endorsement, actually. If you feel like this could have changed the journey in which you went forward financially as a young person, that's success in itself, right, for a book.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and it's not all of it. Like, there are parts of it. And I think the part I loved about it was you can, and she says it at the end, like, take the bit that's relevant for you now and work through the steps. It's almost like a steps program. Do this, do this, do this. And I think that it's bite-sized pieces that a young person could tackle by themselves as well. And then it's just almost like give it a go. And I think there's some great phrases in the book of just, and I loved how she interviewed a younger woman at the end of every chapter, and then also, but you know, asking them what they've learnt or what if they didn't know and that sort of thing. And all of them kept saying, give it a go, or just, you know, just start. And I think that's the start. Like, we all, as planners, we know that time is our biggest, most valuable asset from an investing point of view. And that book is very clearly saying, just start. Yeah.
Yeah. And what struck me as well is that she's very aware of naysayers, right? In a way that if a young woman is starting their journey with shares and they talk to someone else, she's very aware that someone else's misunderstanding of investing or their misinformation could be there to actually derail someone's journey moving forward. So like in her chapter, when she talks about, okay, if you've thought this, you know, she gives the evidence as to why that's not the myth. And then she puts it in as a challenge at the end of the chapter going, if someone says this to you, ask them why, you know, like she's trying to prep people because she's understood that people starting out in this journey can easily be, you know, discouraged about going forward if they're not having conversations with the right people around them.
Yes. And I've said to, you know, like the young ladies in my life, we should do a book club on this book and let's do a chapter at a time. And one rolled her eyes and the other one, I was surprised, said, okay, yeah, let's do that. So I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, I have read it with quite a bit of depth and, because I wanted to make sure that when I do read it with them that we are talking about it at that in-depth level as well. I might not be good at that, but it will be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of this book, Michelle, like what are the bits you want to talk about? Like has kind of jumped out at you and you feel like let's talk about it because this is special in this book. So
The one thing I love, Jen, and it wasn't just like, I was reading this book and I was talking with someone I'm very close to and they were talking about getting pay rises and I went this page and I literally just took a photo of the page and it was the page about when you don't get a pay rise even with inflation that you really are getting a pay loss in the process. And it even really sold home to me the concept of inflation, and I shouldn't say that as a planner, but it was just very real. And I think it's really important to empower young women, young people, but young women to do that because we know as young women that we don't want to, like, you know, even in going for a job, we need to be able to do all 10 tasks that they list in the job description, not just 2 or 3. And I liked that about the end of the book as well, where she actually really reflected on how good women are at investing when they do invest. I really liked that. So it is very much a book for women or young girls. Obviously that's the title of the book, but it was very empowering from that point of view. But I love, that was my biggest takeout was that if your boss gives you the 2% pay rise, but inflation at the year is 2%, then you don't end up with more purchasing power. And really simple statement, right? But really powerful. I thought really, really powerful. And I kind of, and you know, and you got to pay cut.
Yeah.
Like enough, you just got to pay cut.
Yes.
And so it's like, it was very, she's very real about it, and yeah. And just very quite direct, which I really liked as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you'd be surprised to find, or maybe because I've heard that it's called, you know, Girls That Invest, and I've looked at the Instagram page, and there's a lot about shares. And Simran Kaur, you know, she was on This Is Money with Glenn James, just being interviewed, and she and Glenn have differing thoughts on if they're going to be talking on their podcast about wealth. He doesn't really mention figures, because he said he doesn't want to talk about figures because figures are relative to a person, so he's not going to talk about, you know, how much he earns. She, on the other hand, she said that she's very aware of the tall poppy syndrome, and but she wants to be able to take that. She wants success amongst women and their finances to be talked about, not something that is hidden. So she said she talks about her success and, you know, about her first million and second million that she's making, because she wants other people to be inspired to come along with the journey, not to rub it in anyone's face. So that was quite interesting.
That's interesting. That is an interesting concept, because I think, as I don't know in your household, but in my household, I just kind of flippantly talk about money and figures, and not flippantly, but it doesn't, because it's what we do every day. I think it doesn't seem foreign to me to talk about it, and it is making it normal. It's normalizing it, and I think that's really important, and I think young people need to understand that as well. And but I think that's coming, and it comes because we no longer, like, you know, in relationships, we all have, there's generally two people who go off to work every single day. And so I think that is normalizing who's bringing in the household income, and then who's, you know, how that's being spent, more so than in, you know, generations past.
Yes, I think that normalizing bit is the theme that keeps on coming through, is that it's not a normal thing to talk about money. She starts the book by saying that is it when she was 9 years old, she had a random conversation in the playground with someone who was talking about shares that they've seen on TV, about things going up and down, and then Simran asked her dad to explain it that evening. And she says only upon reflection that she thought her dad probably didn't quite understand it himself.
But it's true. And, you know, I think parents who do that, like, I didn't necessarily have that in my life. And one of the questions someone, a previous advisor in my lifetime had always said was, what's your first experience of money? What do you remember? What's your memory of money? And if I asked you that, what, you know, and I'm not, you're not the interviewer here, but what's your memory of money? What's your first memory? Because I definitely remember my first memories are the pile of everyone's pocket money on the table, and we all got 10 cents for every age we were. And you didn't take someone else's pile because it was not yours to take. But we all got different amounts, right? But it wasn't based on sex. It was based on, and, you know, it was based on our age, and you took that. But we were always encouraged to save some of it.
Yeah.
And then that whole, I think this is the hard part about money, and it's not something that Simran's touched on in her book, or I don't recall, is that now when we, you know, kids just see their parents tap the phone, tap this, tap that, tap a card. Yeah. There's no physicality of losing something. And I think that is one of the biggest challenges we have is, you know, teaching kids to really track and budget their money.
Yes. So I think tracking and budgeting, I think I was surprised to find out that she was talking about all of that, because she actually does talk about sorting out your financial house first.
Yes.
Before going to investing, because even though the book is called Girls That Invest, I think I just expected her to go straight into concepts.
Straight into investing.
And she does not, like, lose sight of the fact that there is a bit of cleanup first before we move into it. And quite often I find that people are wanting very quick bites of what they can do. And it's like, oh, I heard investing is a good idea. Tell me quickly how it's done. And that's the only thing I'm going to do.
Yes.
And I liked about this book is that she's just made it part of the overall process of learning about shares. Is that sort of what, I mean, how did you feel about her approach of actually working up to that?
I really like that because, well, you've got to have surplus money, right? So if you don't look at your budget and you don't have some left at the end of the week, like, that's the reality, you know, it just doesn't fall out of the sky. So we've got to find it from somewhere. And it generally, it's about giving up something to have something else. And It all comes with that meaning of money or why it's important to us. And, you know, it's a big question we ask with our clients at The Wealth Designers, but, you know, why, the why of why we want to do something. And it doesn't matter if the why is at, you know, the level of a 17-year-old or a 25-year-old. That's not it. It's just if we know what the why is, then we can put purpose to it and we can then make it really important and remind ourselves that that's why. And that's why we're doing it. And here's that, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And we're putting money into that bucket. So I think she was, you know, I think it's really good housekeeping that everyone has a budget. And someone who loves maths, my stepwids' kids would be rolling their eyes, but I do love maths and I've always loved numbers. So I don't feel like budgeting has come hard to me and I don't have a strict budget. That might be interesting to hear from a financial planner, but I've always been able to save. And that's, you know, it's just, I don't know, just I've always saved.
That's budgeting.
Yeah, that's budgeting. And that even as a kid, I always saved. And my biggest, you know, my biggest thing is when I was a little girl and I wanted to lay by a doll and lay by was unheard of. And now we've got this, you know, buy now, pay later situation going on in the world. And I lay by a doll. And I'd give my mum a bit of pocket money every single week and she'd take my money to the toy store and Mr. Zanotto, and I paid off this doll and I got the doll eventually. But that was my goal and that was, and I kept chipping away at it and I eventually got it. So I think to teach your children to do something like that is really rewarding for them and sets them in really good stead. And she's saying those basic principles, house in order, repayment of debt, if we're carrying debt and, you know, generally probably a lot of young people reading this are not, but I think young people will be falling into the trap of the buy now, pay later issues that are coming. And I'm not sure what, I've not listened to a podcast on Simran talking about that. So I'm sure she does talk about it somewhere along the line. But I think those things are really important. And I liked that she had a little bit of focus on retirement whilst this superannuation bucket is so far out of our reach as young people. I still think making people understand that how much risk to take and really go for it, I think is really important as well. It's something I, you know, she didn't talk about other super, like, you know, there wasn't a touch on a lot of super concepts and that, but it's being written for global. So I get that as well. So that's probably one thing. It's not specific to Australia. It's not, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good book, I think, for, you know, if you've got a young person in your life, you know, read it with them. Like, or like you said, you've got a book club, because then you can talk through it and then go, someone will know about how that applies to superannuation, right? Because you're talking about shares, you know, that's predominantly where most of us will hold our first exposure to shares is through our superannuation fund. And I like as well, I feel like she's had so many conversations with people that have just told her so many things that are untrue about investing that she's heard in the past. And she's like, I know that's not true now.
Yes.
And she talks about this example about, you know, Mrs. Housing, the real estate agent who tells you about the house. And she brings this up because I think property is a hot topic about young people at the moment. You know, young people feeling like, they can't get in.
Is that what, like, you know, I'm in Sydney, you're in Perth.
Yeah.
And it's, that makes it very different, housing affordability. Like the young people in my life, I don't think they ever think they're going to, you know, own a house. I don't know what it's like so much in Perth. Like, do you think, what do your kids say? They're a bit younger, but.
No, I mean, I've explained to them that they are going to need a substantial deposit. So effectively, if they want the deposit, they need to start now.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's the other thing, like house ownership of property. Simran really talks about how this, like, you know, housing is seen as not a risky investment. I think that's the thing. Like, young people are pointed to property, but there's maybe an unfair emphasis on property that is putting a lot of pressure on them for a very large asset when they could actually get investing in other ways, right? In smaller parcels.
Sooner.
But it seems
it's the leverage. I think it's the leverage that you get from the investing that is always what people are, they're not talking about the leverage that they're doing, but that is how they're getting the big growth. so quickly. Yeah.
And you don't hear about the like you don't. She's put it in the perspective of like, you know, why shares, you know, they're valued more frequently through days. So you can see it go up and down,
yes.
But that's not the way that we look at property.
At the housing prices.
Yeah,
yeah
so
that's
again,
right.
She's very, very in tuned to how people come in maybe with misconceptions, or again, they might have people around them that may not understand. She's really preparing you for this journey going out, whether you hold a misconception yourself or whether someone's going to,
Yes. And I think young people would more hear that from someone who's written a book that's directed at young people than from someone like yourself or a parent saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like that's where I think some of the things she does say like that are really good messages
and really
clear messages to people as well. And the whole just get started, like the get started was very a clear message in her whole, every chapter I think almost ended with get started. Yeah.
Like it's not going to take much.
Great.
Yeah, just get started. And you know, she's really trying to push people through by the end of it. So if you think about the young women in your life, and if they read this book, do you feel that they would feel confident by the end of it to actually get started?
I think yes, in some way, shape, or form. Like it depends, like if I'm talking about the youngest person, perhaps not, because she's only just got a job. It doesn't require her to have a super fund. So there's bits and pieces like that. But then it's also about teaching her to invest some of it because then to earn a bit more to work towards a goal. So, yes, there's some good elements there with the older people, because that's, you know, there's an 8-year difference, and eight years when you're younger is a lot of, you know, there's a bit of time and life experience that changes across that time. And I'm sounding like an old person. But but it's, yes, to answer your question, yes, I do think they can get value out of it. And I think they would be able to action some things from it. And even if it is that they just do a proper budget and that they've looked at their super fund and they've thought about, if they've got savings that's earning better interest. And then if they go, well, maybe I might take $1,000 and put it in and start investing every 2 months or every 3 months, like just, you know, it's the start, right? It's getting started. And then because I think the starting builds momentum. And I remember that from my early days when I first started investing and having a portfolio and starting with X amount. And I kind of agree, like it's not about how much you're starting with. It is just getting started, and you can find the appropriate ways to get started with a small amount of money.
She's probably gotten a lot of women into investing and being confident enough to start.
Yeah.
What are the other standout parts for you, Michelle? Because you've, like I know, you say you've written a few notes, you've gone into a deep dive into this book. What are the things kind of stand out for you?
I think the things we've touched on it is the five steps, the getting started. And I loved her analogy on investing in the stock market is a lot like getting into skincare. And I love that because I was like, oh my God, it's so true, isn't it? Like it just seems so overwhelming at the beginning. Yeah. And even I think still at 47, yeah. I still think skincare. Yeah. And someone else, if she ever listens to this, my cousin in my life who's totally into skincare, would be saying, Michelle, just get it sorted. But I would probably be saying the opposite to her, like saying, just get it sorted on your finances as well. So, but I really loved that analogy because I thought that was completely relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She
just
understands
putting it all together. And I think that's the thing is that it's not that complicated, but you have to start, you have to give it a go, and you have to be disciplined at it. And it's probably discipline is the hard thing, like going without something, like, you know, being, you know, and I always ask all of my clients the same question, like, do you spend first and save second, or do you save first and spend second? Just to see where they sit. And, you know, you can always tell the people, but it's nice to hear it. Hear it from them and to see them go, oh yeah, I do spend it all or whatever, because then we know we've got to just do some automation here first before we and to pay ourselves and reward ourselves differently. I think that's probably the biggest thing about investing is it is actually the reward for yourself, isn't it? Like, yes. You know, but how we, but it's just the, it's the get started. So yeah, that was there. But the skincare analogy, I completely loved it. It was, or maybe it was more relatable to me, you know, the steps that you've got to do.
Yeah.
The other message I loved was they're not looking at the value every single day. And, you know, and it's still something like it doesn't matter if you're 17, if you're 20, if you're 25, if you're 30 or if you're 47 or that. Like, you know, I still teach 60-year-olds the same thing. You can't look at it every day. And that analogy coming back to the house, like we don't get out of bed and we don't price the family home every single day because we don't put it on the market every day to see if we can sell it. But we open up our phone and we have a look at the value of the portfolio as well. I must be sounding like a bit of a broken record because one of my clients said to me, but you told me it's a long-term thing, Michelle. And I said, absolutely.
Look, time horizon is everything. And I think certainly it's a book that, I don't know what my expectations were actually reading it. I just that I've heard so much about it. I feel like it's almost, you know, like how maybe even 5 years ago, the barefoot investor was everything on everybody's lips in terms of a finance book. Mm. And I find Girls That Invest is one of those hot books now that everybody, like, they talk is about.
Talking about.
Yeah. And it's, and
I love the actionable steps. Mm. And a lot of the finance books have the actionable steps. So that's not new, but I think it was realistic. And then I was reading it going, I wonder when we do the book club, when I do it with those three girls, if they'll go, that's really stupid.
Yeah.
And there are some things where I'm like, I'm not even sure I would do that, but there will definitely be the young person who's really interested and really keen to do that. Mm. I'm just trying to remember where I read not too long ago, and I might have mentioned it to you, about a young girl whose dad said to her, choose a stock and we'll follow it and then we'll invest in it and do that. And it was Mattel.
Mm.
And, you know, Barbie being the big movie of last year. But it was, I thought it was a great way. Like I sometimes think investing at the beginning is not about, you might get it wrong. That's okay. I think that's the other thing too. It's okay not to get it completely right the first time. But she's, you know, very clear on perhaps, and, you know, she quotes Warren Buffett, very clear on passive investments and that is just going to give you that broad range of exposure and generally do what markets do. And, you know, as we know historically, that they go up over time and that's the reward that you're going to get for putting your money in the market. But I liked, you know, that she said, if you've got something that you're interested in, then follow that, you know. I think that's also because you'll learn a lot from that process as well. Yes.
I think that's what also I've gathered from my conversations with some authors on this podcast is that I think as a parent, I was hoping that one investment for the kids could do everything. You could give them education on the share market. It could be tax effective. It could be diversified. It could be everything. And I think from having these conversations, I've realized that sometimes a little pot of money that's separate to the bigger pot of money.
Bigger pot.
Can be used for the education piece, because maybe with the bigger pot of money, you know, you're looking at the diversification, you're looking at spreading it out, you know, lower cost, things like that, just to make it work long-term. But then we're not forgetting that if you can track a company, if you pick a company, you like that company, that's a really good learning experience. And Mark Bynum, who wrote The Money Sandwich, and he's on the episode just before this one, he was saying that he thinks one of the greatest gifts that grandparents can give their grandkids is that give them a little, you know, if it's a little bit of money that you give them and say, pick some companies that you want. So it's not so much about making money out of it. It's about giving them the ability to to exercise choice and have discussions about what it is to invest in it. And he said, you're giving them knowledge then.
And I think that's the thing, like you are giving them knowledge. And, you know, even a client of mine, she's recently come and said, could I have a bit of money so then I can go and invest in things that I know about? And I said, well, you already have exposure to these through the ETFs and portfolio. And she's like, oh, brilliant, because she just wants to talk about it with her boys.
Mm.
You know, I think that is really important, because as consumers, we all consume, and we're actually consuming the things that we're invested in every single day. And these are the, we don't realize this about, you know, our, even our super and everything. And this is the stories, like, you know, when we sit and listen to, we talk with fund managers and get catch ups, yeah. I'm always like, what's the stories? Tell me the stories of where the underlying investments is and why you've invested in them and why they're doing well and what theme and, you know, what you liked about them. Because generally, you know, it, teaching young people about that, I think, is a good idea as well. Because if you, and she touches on that through the ESG part of the book,
yes,
is
right.
If you like it, if you, you know, if you like it, if you have a reason to want to be in it, I think that it's interested, it's being interested, right? And that can change over time because life changes. We know that. And, you know, it was interesting, though, there was nothing talking about selling and there was nothing talking about a lot of fees. I was a bit like, you know, you haven't asked me that question, but if I was about, what didn't it touch on? What I thought it might have talked about a bit or could talk about a bit is just talking about what fees come. Like it did touch lightly on it, but, you know, in a world where we're all about fees and transparency in our world, I just thought, oh, I wonder, like, yeah, there wasn't that aspect to investing.
Yeah,
but it's, again, it's a global book.
Yes.
And so touching on things, she touches lightly on the gains or anything like that as well.
I mean, and she did make a note about, I thought was interesting that she did talk about using a financial advisor, which is, I mean, not always in reach of a young person, but I like the fact that she got it right around in Australia. Of course, she's from New Zealand, but she's, you know, made a note that in Australia, you know, commissions have been banned on investment products because I think overall people feel like it's still a place that if they're seeking advice, then commissions come out of it and that's changed. So for me, I like that little, it's not a big section and it's not why the book is, it's amazing.
No.
But as a financial advisor, I like the fact that she actually understood what financial advisors do, like as opposed to the barefoot investor who was quite scathing about financial advisors in the book, which is a bit disheartening because I think he's kind of ignoring the people who are actually making impact.
Well, advice is just not about investing, as we know. So that's the other side of it. Like it's very much putting pigeon, you know, he was pigeoning people into a hole. I think perhaps, as you said, that landscape of what books we have on offer and perhaps then how people view and look at advisors now is changing as well, which is great to see.
Well, Michelle, you have been an amazing reviewer. You know, look, we're going to keep you on, Michelle. I think you've landed this gig permanently as our book reviewer. And listeners, we do have more books that that Michelle will be reviewing. As she said, you know, we'll be doing The Psychology of Money and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if we can actually incorporate any other books coming through, we'll do that. But if you have suggestions as well, please feel free to reach out to Michelle or myself. You can contact us via LinkedIn. You're not going to find us too responsive on TikTok.
No.
No. Michelle, is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with before we sign off today?
No, I just start. Start well, as we know. And I think the best thing you can do is get the young people in your life started.
Wise words from Michelle Flanagan. Thank you so much for listening in today, everyone. And follow the podcast series for more episodes to come.
Thanks Dawn. Bye.
In the spirit of reconciliation, I acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connection to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Start Well and investing in the financial empowerment of young people. Please refer to the show notes for resources and links discussed in this episode. Subscribe now to get notified of the latest episodes as they drop weekly. And visit us on the Wealth Designer Start Well page for further resources to continue your knowledge journey.